The word of the Lord from Matthew chapter 14. When Jesus heard what had happened, that means the beheading of John the Baptist, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so that they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." "We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish," they answered. "Bring them here to me," he said. He directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Let's pray. Jesus, your name is beautiful and wonderful, powerful. We see it clearly at this table, your broken body, your shed blood, able to do far more than we ask or imagine. So Lord, as we respond to your invitation to this table today, I pray that you give us eyes to see you clearly, just to be taken aback at how marvelous and wonderful and good you are, and how clearly we see that in you. And empower me just to announce and celebrate the good news with boldness. Pray this in the name of Christ. Amen. You can be seated. So today we come to the table of the Lord together. I mentioned this. We do this every week we're together. This isn't out of religious obligation. It's because we believe that something incredible happens when we meet Jesus at the table. It has nothing to do with magic hocus pocus that happens to the bread or the cup. Instead, it has everything to do with the one who offers us the bread and the cup. It's not the person passing a plate or standing there with a loaf. It is Jesus himself. We believe deeply that every time we come together and celebrate the good news, we celebrate it not just because Jesus invites us to be saved, but that he invites us to participate in his life. That the picture of the gospel, the picture of the good news, is the picture of Jesus handing bread and cup to us. It's not just about heaven, although it includes heaven, but it's about Jesus becoming the sustaining thing to our life. And the good news is that everything that we need for life, we find at the table of Jesus. That there's nothing, whether that be forgiveness, whether that be cleansing, whether that be healing, whether that be restoration, whether it be strength for the journey, whatever it is, Jesus holds it out to us every time we come together, because he is always offering us himself, all the time. This is what it means to commune with the Lord. The picture he uses in Scripture is that he is the vine and we are the branches. That he becomes not just the one who saves us, but the saving, sustaining force of our life. And this is especially good news for those of us who don't have everything we need. I don't know about you, but I regularly come to the point, much like the disciples in this story, where I see that what I have isn't enough for what I feel like needs to happen right in front of me. In this story, Jesus invites his disciples to join into something that he wants to do. The disciples see hungry people, and they see that they need to eat. And so their idea is, let's outsource this to the villages, right? Villages have plenty of food. Jesus, let's send people home so they can get a bite to eat. And Jesus says, no. We don't need to send them away. Feed them. And the disciples immediately say, wait. Jesus, we only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. We don't have enough to do what you're asking here. You have a great idea, Jesus. But we don't have the resources for what you're up to. I love this story in some ways because it is the perfect picture, not just of the kingdom of God, but how the table is the best picture of the kingdom of God. Because, I mean, like, nothing preaches like the bread and the cup, because it reminds us that Jesus has an infinite source of everything we need to do exactly what he's called us to do. With the series we've been in about crucial conversations, one of the things I want to remind you of as we kind of pivot here and head in a new direction as far as our sermon series goes, is that the goal of this whole series has not been to pile on your plate more to do. The goal of this has been to remind you that God's at work in the world, and that everything you need to join him in this work starts with our willingness to do what Jesus asks with the things we already have. In the story of the loaves and the fishes, these guys don't have a lot. They have bread and fish. And Jesus says something here. And one of the most powerful unspoken moments in Scripture is what happens after Jesus says, bring them to me. Because in parentheses, if I were writing it, I would say, and they brought it. Because that's like the pivot point of this story. That's how we go from a bunch of hungry people and 5 loaves and 2 fishes to the miraculous power of God being seen, not only as bellies are filled, but as before people's eyes, their lack becomes an abundance. This isn't a prosperity message. This is the reality of the kingdom of God. Jesus is not lacking. And just like when we were saved and we didn't have enough good works to earn our way into heaven, and we didn't have so much sin that Jesus couldn't deal with it, wherever you were when you came to Jesus, he could handle your lack. You just had to come to Jesus at his invitation. This is what the table reminds us of. We all came on level ground to the broken body and shed blood of Jesus. But it's the same thing when it comes to serving the Lord. The table's not just a picture of how we're saved, it's a picture of how we serve the Lord and the world. Because the disciples had to take what they have and put it back in Jesus' hands. And it was only in that act that they could actually do what Jesus was asking them to do. And as Jesus took the bread and the fishes, he blessed them, he thanked God for them, and he broke them. And then he handed it back to the disciples and said, go give it out. He took it, he blessed it, he broke it, and he handed it away. The kingdom of God looks like what we see at the table. And it's not just what we see in Jesus, but what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus. To be a follower of Jesus in the world is to be blessed and broken and given for the sake of your neighbors, for the sake of your workplace, for the sake of the people in your world. I know that's what following Jesus looks like, because that's what Jesus looks like. When we look to his table, that's what we see. Jesus, fully given, broken, offering everything so that we can live. And as we come to the table today, I want to remind you that this is also the picture of what our lives look like as we follow Jesus. That our lives are lives that have to be put back into the hands of Jesus to be broken and to be given back to the world. This is a picture of what it means to declare Jesus as Lord. It's not just the blessing of Jesus, but it is that our lives become more and more shaped like Jesus. And what's amazing is that our lives then become an extension of this table in the world. Just like Jesus is offering himself to us, as we read last week in 2 Corinthians, God, it's as if God makes the same appeal to the world through us. That our tables become an extension of the table of God. That the invitation to come to Jesus just as you are comes as we both come to Jesus just as we are, and we go to our world just as it is. To offer the free grace and the full provision of Jesus. Because that's what he offers us every time we come to his table. Every time we come to Jesus, your riches don't matter. Your poverty doesn't matter. What you lack doesn't matter. Whatever you think you have to have to be a follower of Jesus, all those things go out of the window. It seems like the only thing you need is Jesus, who's offering himself to you, and a willingness to just bring what you have, even if you think it's nowhere near enough, to offer it to him and say, here, here it is. Do your Jesus stuff with it. Bless it, break it, give it up, whatever. Do what only you can do. And I've found that it's the people who regularly are offering themselves back to the Lord, who are the people whose lives start to give these miraculous glimpses that Jesus is Messiah. He's Lord. He's able. He's enough. He's the sustainer. He is the only thing that satisfies. And so as we come to the table today, I want to challenge you, but I also want to encourage you. Paul said to never come to this table haphazardly. To take time to really examine ourselves, because when we come to this table, we're declaring Jesus as Lord. That means every facet of who we are offering back to him. Saying, not my will, but yours be done. Saying, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're offering back to Jesus, even if it seems small, even if it seems inadequate, even if it seems like there's no way it could ever do what God seems to be wanting to do in our world. We're putting those things, our full self, back in the hands of Jesus. And we're going to take a moment before we commune and just ask the Lord to search our hearts. And if there's any places where we need to offer back to him what is his, any part of our own lives, we're going to do that. But the second part is, it's the same good news that brought you to Jesus is the good news right now that continues to keep you and enliven you in Jesus. And that is everything you need for your journey, Jesus holds out to you because he offers you himself. In this moment, Jesus is enough. And the way that we see that proven true in our lives over and over is by being willing to place our lives back in his hands over and over and to let him make us into the image of Jesus by blessing, by breaking, and by giving us to the world around us. So let's take a moment and pray. I want to invite up our servers who are going to serve communion today. And as they get in place, I just want you to bow your head. And let's just take a moment and ask the Lord to examine our hearts and ask a really simple question. Is Jesus, am I fully given to you? Or is there any place right now where you call me to put my life back into your hands? Just take a moment and pray about that. And if the Holy Spirit leads, be faithful and follow him and offer your life. Put your life in the hands of Jesus. In a moment, we're going to sing a song and the elements are going to be passed out. We'll do the bread first, and I ask that you just hold it. We'll take it together after the song. We'll do the same with the cup. Just a warning, our order of little communion wafers and come in, so I had to get some oyster crackers, so some of you are getting the saltine blessing this morning. But again, remember, this isn't about the bread or the cracker or whatever. It's about the Jesus who's offering you himself, who was broken so that you could live, so that you could have everything you need for the life you're called to. So don't miss that in this moment. So I'm going to pray, and we're just going to sing a song, and they're going to pass out the elements. We'll take the bread together. We'll do the same with the cup. And let's just rejoice and listen and trust the leading of the Holy Spirit, because ultimately, this is Jesus calling you to life because he's calling you to his table to come freely without cost and find everything you need for life. Jesus, we bless your name as we take these elements, Lord. Help us by faith to receive everything that you're offering for the place we are, for the situations we're in, for the people around us. Your grace is enough. Thank you, Lord. I pray this in your name. Amen. On that night, he took bread and blessed it and broke it. And he said, "This is my body broken for you. Let us take and eat." Lord, we bless your name. Thank you that you are the God broken for us. Amen. And he took the cup and he blessed it. And he said to them, "This is the blood of my new covenant poured out for you. Drink it in remembrance of me." And Jesus redefined us and our future through his broken body and shed blood, but he also redefined our present because he is now with us. We were dead and now are alive. We were broken and are now being restored. God is doing things among us, and it's worth celebrating. So we're going to celebrate. We're going to sing one more song, and we're just going to rejoice together. We have a few people who do prayer down here every service. I'm going to invite them to come down. If there's anything you're wrestling with or any conversation you want to have where you're just like, you know what, God's been stirring on me today. I want prayer. I'd love to talk with somebody more about this. Our counselors will be down here. But we're just going to sing one more song together before we leave today just to celebrate, because the invitation of Jesus, the table of Jesus, is always open, always welcoming us to come to him to find what we need in those moments. So let's rejoice together in the work of Jesus. Stand up with us and join us. Let's sing one more song.